Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on Dealing Together, where we help good people who fell for bad deals. First caller?
I had to buy 3 identical sweaters to get the 4th free.
Ooh, you got fleeced. Next caller, what's your deal?
I paid for 20 tanning sessions, but had to use them in a month. Now I'm orange.
Ooh, you got burned. Next caller.
I traded in my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus.
How's that bad?
I got to choose from their best plans.
So, what went wrong?
Oh, nothing went wrong.
And you're calling to...
to request a song?
You want a song. Of course.
The choice is yours.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. This is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and today it's listener mail on the podcast. We do that every Monday, so we'll be reading back some of the messages that you've sent in over the past week or two. Rob, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump right in with this email about tumbleweeds.
Go for it.
Okay, this is from Nan. Nan says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. Thanks for another great episode of Stuff to Blow Your Mind on a topic I deal with many days of the year, but which few other people seem to be aware of. I work at a landfill in California that is constantly battling tumbleweeds. Though I thankfully haven't seen one moving while on fire, the biggest hazard we deal with is that they tend to blow into our drainage channels, rolling down the channels much like a Hot Wheels car on a track, and get stuck at our storm drain inlets, causing flooding and erosion that can potentially expose buried trash." This sounds kind of familiar. I think we talked about tumbleweeds clogging ditches definitely. And culverts and drainage pipes and stuff. They're nature's wet wipes. If that statement confused you, by the way, go back and check out our episode. I think it was called The Soap Dragon.
Yes.
Anyway, Nan goes on. "We do our best to remove the Russian thistle before it becomes tumbleweed, but there's often more than we can manage. Goats are our greatest ally in this battle. They'll happily eat Russian thistle on extremely steep slopes that our maintenance crews aren't able to climb, eliminating potential fire and flooding hazards and keeping the landfill safe for everyone. I'm including a photo showing some of our goat landscapers at work, their Great Pyrenees watchdog, and a huge pile of tumbleweeds clogging a drainage channel. For scale, the dog is about 3 feet tall." So, Rob, I suppose we should explain the picture we're looking at. There is a the dog looks kind of sad, but he's sitting there looking into the camera. And then behind the dog on the hill, there are many goats scattered about. And I don't know, calling back to part two of our episode, I don't know if the goats look much like tumbleweeds.
Oh, really? I was thinking this. Yes, finally, I have some clarification. These tumbleweeds look vaguely goat-shaped. Yes. I don't know. I see a certain synchronicity between the form of the goat and the form of the tumbleweed. My only regret is that we do not have a camel in the shot as well.
Oh, yeah, that would be good to have camels in the distance. So, but wait, they look like a goat when they are under the wagon, right?
Right.
Okay, unfortunately, we did not in time for this episode get any Mongolian listeners writing in to explain the goat and wagon thing. I still really hope we do.
But I think these are essentially under the wagon, because the tumbleweed under the wagon is the tumbleweed that is no longer mobile. It is no longer out there. It is here, and it is stuck, and it is immobile. And that's the same case with these tumbleweeds in this photo. They are stuck in the drainage ditch. They're not going anywhere. And therefore, the goats are perfectly in scale with them. The dog, however, is much larger than the tumbleweeds.
Yes, though, as we talked about, when all the tumbleweeds clump up, they form a mighty large pile. And mm-hmm. It starts calling to mind that... that quote from the botanical manual talking about them in the middle of the 19th century, before they even came to North America, talking about them on the Russian steppe and describing a mass of tumbleweeds linked together as, I think it was like a giant in his 7-league boots.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Nan finishes up by saying, looking forward to hearing part two of this episode. Take care, friends. Nan.
All right. Well, thanks for sending that in. And we look forward to even more tumbleweed insight coming in from the Great American Desert and beyond.
This is one I bet we're going to get a lot of mail about. Really? Yeah. I hope so.
I think so. All right. Here's another one. This one comes to us from Michael in Germany. Hey, Joe and Robert. Longtime listener, but my first submission. I just listened to the listener mail episode where you talk about how in ancient Greek, the future is perceived as behind and the past in front of you. This had me thinking of Plato's cave allegory. He obviously conceived that story thinking in ancient Greek. Maybe there is a time component to it that is lost on us who think of the future as something that lies in front. The people in the cave are watching shadows in front of them projected by something behind them. As they keep progressing toward the exit of the cave, they are going forward in time, discovering more truths about how the world really works. Somehow, the progress of the people in the cave makes a lot more sense to me when thinking about it with an added dimension of time. Greetings from Germany, Michael.
You know, I hadn't considered this, but this is very thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we've touched on the cave before on the show. I don't know if it's the kind of thing we could ever do a full treatment of, but I know it's come up a time or two.
That's one of those things I don't know how... Is that like something basically everybody learns about in high school, or is it not as common as that?
I don't think I learned about it in high school, or if I was supposed to, I did not. It was one of those things where later on I would read other things and they would, of course, refer back to it. I feel like it's one of those things that's... It's almost impossible to avoid for too long in life, because somebody's going to reference it and then you're going to say, well, what's that? I better look it up and find out.
Well, it's worth looking up yourself if you actually don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, it's a famous allegory in the writings of Plato about the difference between the ideal reality as things truly are and our perceptions of things, which he compares to the shadows of things cast on the wall of a cave from the mouth of a cave. And we're only looking at the shadows, but we believe we're looking at the true forms, unaware that the true forms lie behind us in the mouth of the cave.
There's a wonderful TED Ed video on this topic. If you want just a real crash course in this, look for the TED Ed video, Plato's Allegory of the Cave. It'll get you where you need to go.
Okay, I'm going to slide on over to the next message, which is also about our time travel episodes. This one was from Kevin. Kevin says, I just listened to your episodes on Time Traveler Zero. In the second episode, when you introduced the topic of time travel in sleep and dreams, my mind immediately went to the concept of rack to the future. In nautical parlance, a rack is a sailor's bed. The pun intended phrase is used to describe individuals in the Navy who spend all of their precious little free time asleep. thereby engaging in a form of personal time travel by hastening their perceived passage of time towards the day when deployment and its endless cycle of standing duty is over. Some people read or watch movies or work out, and others simply rack to the future. I've never heard that expression. That's great, though.
Yeah, and me neither. My mind went to like the rack, the torture rack at first, so I thought it had something to do with that. But of course, that would really have the opposite effect. If you're putting yourself into novel predicaments of pain, that's just going to make time feel like it's stretching out even further and further, and you're obviously not going to sleep in that condition.
This also reminds me of something that's come up on the show before, but the research about the difference in the perceived length of time in retrospect versus in the moment, and how that's very often an inverse relationship. Like, things that feel like they're taking a long time in the moment shrink to a point in memory, whereas events that fly by really quickly in the moment tend to expand in memory.
Yeah. Like, it's often hard to think back on times we were really profoundly bored, because how memorable is that, right?
Right, yeah, but especially novel experiences, you know, when you're experiencing something new and surprising, it goes by in the blink of an eye, but then you have usually a much more solid memory of it later on down the road.
Right. All right, this next one comes to us from Ziggy, and it's in reference to one of our Vault episodes on sinkholes. So Ziggy writes, I am currently listening to your Vault episode on Sinkholes Part 1. I am behind. Yes, I often have thoughts about episodes, but since I am usually a few weeks behind, I haven't felt that sending any of them would be useful. However, I grew up in a town where sinkholes were a part of everyday life. I grew up in a small mining town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We had large swaths of our town just fenced off. You were not allowed to go there. There had once been neighborhoods in this area, but the houses and shops had been demolished and everyone evacuated because it turned out the mine tunnels under these neighborhoods were caving in. We called this area the Caving Grounds. Ooh. It was such a part of life that every year from kindergarten through eighth grade, we had to have a safety presentation at school about why we shouldn't go in them. People died, houses got swallowed up, all sorts of horror stories, including pictures. It was traumatizing for little me. Imagine my surprise when they opened up a large portion of Caving Grounds and rebranded it as hiking and biking trails. In high school, we were suddenly not just allowed, but expected to run on land that we had been scared away from our entire lives. Nobody on my cross-country team ever fell in a sinkhole, but our shoes did get very orange. Iron mines will do that. Much of the Caving Grounds are still closed off. I'm not sure how they decided which portions were safe and which were not, but people who go in the closed-off parts still do die. Don't swim in sinkholes, kids. Anyway, thanks for reading this, and I hope it was at least a little interesting. Growing up in the Upper Peninsula was an amazing childhood with very unique experiences. I didn't have that much exposure to other ideas and cultures, though, and your podcast has helped me to learn so much. Thank you for doing what you do, Ziggy.
Oh, thanks, Ziggy. Well, this is really interesting. I was trying to snoop around and figure out where you were talking about. I did find a blog post on like sort of a travel blog about a place in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan called, looks like it was called Negaunee, maybe, N-E-G-A-U-N-E-E, that has Caving Grounds on it. I don't know if this is the same place you're talking about, but there are a lot of pictures on this blog post. You can look it up, and it is very creepy because there are remnants of a now abandoned settlement. So there's like an, you know, eerie abandoned playground, empty houses and things like that. Oh, and just open pits where I guess there'd been some kind of pit mining going on.
Yeah. Thanks for this email. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of some of the areas that I grew up around at one point that had been evacuated by the Tennessee Valley Authority when they were creating some of their in this case a large man-made lake. You would find the old homesteads where people had once lived, and you know, sometimes there would be sunken graves, and other times one of the things that always sticks with me is that the house would be gone. There'd be virtually, you know, little or no sign of people ever having lived here, but the but the tulips or the buttercups, I forget which, that had once lined the walkway to the front porch, they would still come up. So you'd have this kind of like ghost of a front yard still going on in the middle of the woods.
Oh, wow. It's calling to mind like a rock, paper, scissors type game, but it's over time and the flower defeats brick.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were buttercups. I think I seem to remember them being yellow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, well, Rob, if you're cool with it, I think we should move on to mentioning a couple of episodes in response to Weird House Cinema. So I'm going to do this first one from Stefan. Stefan says, "Hey guys, thanks for a consistently great podcast. I wanted to write a few lines regarding your latest Weird House Cinema episode covering the Hungarian animation movie." That movie was Son of the White Mare. Stefan says, "Now, I've not seen it yet, but when you started talking about the director's career and mentioned cartoons about a man named Gustav, some 30-year-old childhood memories started to come back to me. The thing is, these little cartoons called Gustavus were widely sold to European TV networks and used as fillers between scheduled programming. As they don't have a dialogue in any language, just grunts and gibberish, which made them easy to market in various countries." And now I vividly remember watching and liking them as a kid, and I must object a bit to you recommending the listeners to skip the Gustavus cartoons when checking out the director's filmography, little smiley face emoji. Did we tell people to skip them? Maybe we did.
I guess we said something about like the ideal starting place would seem to be Son of the White Mare, even though some of the other films were well received. That, you know, this, I mean, his own mother said, you will never make something as good as this.
I agree. Yeah. So Gustav did not seem to me to be the artistic pinnacle of this animator's career. Animator was Marcel Yankovic, the director of Son of the White Mare. But anyway, Stefan goes on. What I remember most was how, for the lack of a better word, exotic these cartoons were for me as a kid growing up in affluent Scandinavia, to see these crudely drawn gray cartoons from Eastern Europe filled with socialist realism and set to groovy lounge music. I did recall thinking that the music choice in the Gustav cartoon I watched was pretty funny. Anyway, Stefan says, thanks. Anyway, thanks again for providing me with this memory. All the best, Stefan.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not expect to hear back from anyone about the Gustav shorts, but it's interesting to have a little more context on them. And it makes sense that they would be memorable.
Grumbling and taking away a naughty child's slingshot is the same in every language.
It reminds me how I think we were talking about silent films on the Invention podcast at one point. And like one of the early, the many sort of early shorts we were looking at was just a comic short about a child playing a water hose prank on an adult. Do you remember this?
Oh, that was one of like the earliest movies. The Sprinkler Sprinkled.
Yeah.
It was one of the, what was it? Was it Lumiere Brothers or something?
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like one of the earliest silent films ever made. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that style of humor has long been established in cinema and in animation as well. Speaking of animation, I wanted to briefly bring something up that I had flagged to bring up in the Son of the White Mare episode, and then I didn't, but I thought I'd bring it up here. I was thinking about animation, works of animation that kind of stuck with me and made me rethink what animation could do. Mm-hmm. And I distinctly remember either I was watching television as a kid at one point, or somebody called me into the room to check something out. And it was this animated adaptation, or at least an adaptation of part of Wagner's Rheingold opera. Okay. And it was really interesting. I've looked it up subsequently, and it has I think some pretty cool looking animation with some dwarves and sort of goblin looking creatures, and then just full opera. Like it's full opera. It's people singing the opera here. There's no dialogue otherwise. And I remember being completely taken off guard by this. I looked it up, and this would, I think, have been 1995, and it was an episode of a television program called Opera Vox. So I wanted to throw that out there. I wonder if anyone else has a distinct memory of having seen this. And it also, I was trying to think, was there some other weird adaptation of Wagner that I saw as a child, like something that was either animated or fantastic and had ships in it? I don't know. I seem like I have another memory where I was just astounded to see something that was opera that was also some other medium.
Are you thinking about the opening of Highlander 2, The Quickening?
No, that is right. There's a little opera there, right? That's where Ramirez rematerializes.
No. I'm talking about when.
That's right. That's right. He's MacLeod is
falling asleep. Yes.
Falling asleep. Old man. MacLeod falling asleep during an opera. But yes, then Ramirez comes back in like a Scottish Shakespeare performance or something.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great work of theater, and therefore it incorporates other mediums as well. Michael Ironside busts up a puppet show at one point,
Oh, I just remembered that.
Wait, does he? I thought I made that up, but maybe he'd
Well, he goes around busting up all kinds of things.
Does he bust up a puppet shop?
Oh, wow. Well, now I'm embarrassed. I think as you've implanted a false memory in my head. I mean, he busts up several instances of other people relaxing or having a good time. Mm.
It would be totally in character.
Like there should be a scene where Michael Ironside just walks up to a child and takes away their dolly and stomps on it.
All right. Here's another one. This one comes to us from Miguel. Hey, Robert and Joe, I have been meaning to write you guys for some time now, ever since I heard that Joe has finally come around to playing D&D. I have been eager to tell you both about the Kobold Press bestiaries, although hesitant to write because I can't imagine that you both haven't already come across these books. Finally, I decided it was worth writing in on the off chance that you haven't already.
Rob, you're going to have to explain because I actually have no idea what this is about.
Well, you know, I was not familiar with this either. I have to say, I've had my hands full with Dungeons & Dragons monster manuals, just with the official publications that have come out. In fact, my son was really interested in the new Dragons book that came up, so we just got that in the mail, and we're reading about various dragons and gym dragons and so forth. So this, if I am understanding this correctly, is like a third-party supplement with just additional monsters and takes on monsters, and yeah, it looks really cool. Anyway, Miguel continues. There are three 5th edition bestiary books the company has published so far, and a fourth that was just announced this week. They have statted out many creatures that you guys have covered on the show. For example, the Leshy, the Hundun, and even the Ninho. I am always very excited when you two touch on a creature that I have heard about from these books. It's nice to get a deeper look into the creatures beyond the few paragraphs the books are limited to. And as always, I find endless inspiration from the research you two have put together. I don't get the impression that either of you run a D&D game, but I suspect that you both would enjoy thumbing through Tome of Beasts 1 and 2, and the Creature Codex. Perhaps if you're feeling up for it, you can suggest the books to your DMs, and maybe, just maybe, we'll end up facing off against the subject of a future episode. Anyways, I love the show and wanted to thank you for all of the fabulous ways you have blown my mind and influenced my homebrew D&D world and campaigns. I'm still setting on a quote you guys dropped in an episode, I can't remember which episode, for my BBEG, quote, "If thus far only thou has the heart to go, then turn we back and play amidst the dust." Thanks, Miguel.
So when I read this quote back, I was like, oh, that seems vaguely familiar, but I couldn't remember what it was from either.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and I realized that this is a quote I read in a previous episode where we were talking about an English translation of a 19th century Hungarian play, a play that involves Lucifer traveling through time with Adam and Eve, showing them scenes from throughout human history. And I think this quote is from a scene in the future where the devil takes Adam into space and Adam is afraid. And here's the really crazy part. This play is called The Tragedy of Man, and it was adapted into an animated film in 2011 by Marcel Yankovic, the director of Son of the White Mare. We actually mentioned the movie in the Weird House Cinema episode, and it felt slightly familiar to me, but I wasn't sure. This is why. We actually talked about the play it was based on in another episode a while back.
Well, I'll be.
But for more context on that quote, I figured might as well read a few lines here from that English translation. So this is from The Tragedy of Man, and Lucifer and Adam are out in space, and Lucifer says, "So high are we now risen, from the sight first fades the beautiful, and then the great and mighty, till at length naught else remains to us than mathematics, cold, remote." And Adam says, "Now fade the stars behind us as we fly. I see no end. I feel no obstacle. Without love, without conflict, what is life? Here all is cold and terror, Lucifer." And Lucifer says, "If thus far only thou hast the heart to go, then turn we back and play amid the dust."
Oh, nice. That Lucifer always had a way with words.
Well, and I like that this passage is just him calling Adam chicken. But it's difficult to translate. Bark, bark, bark.
Well, that's certainly interesting synchronicity, though, with the link to Son of the White Mare. Now, in terms of Dungeons & Dragons, yeah, like I said, I don't think I was familiar with these Kobold Press books, but I'll have to look these up. I have run a D&D campaign in the past, and if I can ever properly run something physically on a table again, I'll probably do one in the future. But for now, I'm happy to just be a player and play via like some of these online systems that have popped up to help people through the pandemic. But yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm playing a Duergar right now. That's a gray dwarf.
What, a Duergar?
Yeah, they're these gray dwarves that live in the Underdark. They have, you know, magical powers, and They're pretty cool. There's a lot of deep lore to them.
Okay. Well, I'm still relatively a novice. I'm still playing in my first campaign as a player. I don't know if I'll ever DM a campaign, but that's far in the future for me if it ever happens.
What level is your character?
Oh my! Well, I don't know. I could go dig it up. We haven't gotten together in a bit. I think he's a rogue. I think maybe level 4. Does that sound okay?
That sounds
reasonable?
Good. Yeah. Once you're by level 4, you're getting into some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a special sleight of hand tricks and second story work and all that kind of
nice.
Stuff.
I also want to come back to something Miguel mentioned about learning about so many of these creatures through Dungeons and Dragons, and in this case, these Dungeons and Dragons related books, because I feel like I had much the same experience growing up. I had access to various mythology books and so forth, but I was just always super into the monster manuals and the monster manual or monstrous compendium supplements that would come out. And they had all these different additional worlds. You had stuff like the Ravenloft monsters that would come out in the supplement. And then you had the Karatur supplement, which was had a bunch of monsters that were based on Asian motifs. And so that particular supplement was probably where I learned about a lot of things like the Kappa and the Oni and so forth for the first time.
Well, Rob, I think I know your personality well enough to recognize that you have a particular affinity for encyclopedic resources on creatures and monsters. You love to have them with like not just included in a narrative, but with like a full entry that gives you the stats, gives you the info.
Right. I love it when my monsters line up in alphabetical order and have some sort of rating system in place. I'm a real sucker for that. So listeners out there, if you know of any other good monster books and bestiaries and so forth, send them my way. I'm always delighted to learn about a new one, be it something recent or something ancient. I mean, that's where we've actually generated some episodes out of that, like realizing, oh, I don't really know much about this particular compendium of strange, say, Chinese mythological creatures. Maybe we'll do an episode on it.
Oh, yeah, like the classic of the mountains and seas.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that was basically me just jonesing for a new monster book. All right, we're going to go ahead and call it there, but we'll be back next week with another episode of Stuff to Blow Your Mind Listener Mail. That comes out on Mondays. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we put out the core episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, primarily science and cultural, historical, philosophical content, that sort of thing. On Wednesdays, we do an artifact or indeed a monster fact episode where we focus on a particular item, invention, or mythological creature. And then on Fridays, we do Weird House Cinema. That's our time to set aside most serious matters and just talk about a weird film. If you want to find out more about any of this, you can find all these episodes in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. Listen and subscribe wherever you have the ability to access that. Rate and review if you want to help us out in that regard. And then if you go to stufftoblowyourmind.com, I think that'll still shoot you over to the iHeart listing for our show. So you can definitely listen to it there, but there are also some links there that'll take you out to some of our various social media accounts, as well as to the TeePublic store that we have, where you can also buy some designs based on various episodes, and of course, just revolving around our key logos.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today. Health Aid Kombucha.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit Slack.com to get started.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.